You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're all breaking.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. Thank you for joining us on Saturday's edition of the podcast. It is a terrific day of racing at Cheltenham. Trials day there, of course, also a cracking card in prospect over at Doncaster. Those meetings supported in the afternoon by Uttoxeter and Lingfield. There's action in the evening on the all-weather to come from Kempton as well. Plus an Irish card at Fairy House. It's going to be a busy, busy old day on Racing Radio with Dave Kilner, Alistair Jones and James Millman. Your team in the studio here for an early look, joining myself, Sam Norris, ahead to Saturday. Today's racing is Ross Priley. How are you, Ross?
I'm thrilled to be alive, Sam. Thrilled to be alive. Good. And spending a small but sweet portion of that life in close space with you.
Yes. it'll be brief, but hopefully memorable.
Well, that's not the first time you've said that, is it?
No, it is not. Looking forward to Cheltenham, or are you one of these people who is nauseated by the very mention of the word this early on in the year?
I'm looking forward to Cheltenham as in Saturday or the festival?
The festival.
No, I haven't even thought about it.
Okay.
But I can't wait till Saturday.
Okay.
It
polarises opinions. Some people want to talk about it all season long. Other people don't enjoy that.
Other people leave the house. I don't enjoy it because I feel it spoils it by the time you get there. You've talked about it too much.
Yeah.
The anticipation of built. You've confused yourself. You don't know what you fancy. You don't know what you don't fancy. You've got 25 opinions in your own head about one race. And then suddenly you go, you back something, it finishes fifth, the winner goes in at 20-1, and you go, oh, that was the horse I first fancied. But I'd lost all sight of it.
Mm.
So, no, I like to keep...
take each day as it comes.
Yeah, exactly, So I have to dip in and every now and then. Like, I've dipped in with a bet on Mike Bike, because I still think he's too big a price. And I've dipped in with a bet on North Hill Harvey for the Arkle, because I think... He's a bit of a Cheltenham horse who could hit the frame.
Yeah.
But then I dip back out again.
Okay. So. Good stuff. With that in mind, let's talk about the festival and the programme.
No, I refuse.
Michael O'Leary's comments over the last couple of days, the need, or perhaps in some people's view, there is no need whatsoever for a top-level 2.5-mile hurdle similar to what the Ryanair offers for the Chasers. Is that something you'd be in favour of, or do you view the entry hurdle as... a grade one race that is already there for those horses should they need it? Do we need one at Cheltenham, or is it fine the way it is?
I was
taking a quick look at the entry hurdle last year. The first three horses ran in the champion hurdle as well.
Yeah.
How big exactly is that pool of horses, 2.5-mile top class hurdlers?
I don't even think it's necessarily the pool of horses. I think it's more the prestige of the champion hurdle. Is always going to... It'll take a while for people to come round to the idea. For example, the Ryanair is a grade one, but the amount of people who deride it...
Yeah, because it's for horses who aren't...
It's not the Gold Cup.
...aren't quick enough for the champion chase and don't stay the Gold Cup trip.
Yeah, so, but...
Doesn't mean that they're bad.
If you said to me, do you want to share in a chase that will win the Ryanair this year? I'll be like, wow. I don't know. Can we go for the champion chase instead? So I think a lot of it would be stigma. A lot of it would be people playing to tradition and things like that. I guess it wouldn't be the worst idea. But then you do tend to start to dilute every championship race, which is not what you want to do. And again, if you get beaten in the champion hurdle or you get beaten in the stayers hurdle and you think, well, those conditions weren't suitable, then you've got that other option to go for.
I suppose if you own the new one, you'd be thinking, yes, please, we'll have a grade one 2.5-mile hurdle. Thank you very much.
Yeah, totally, yeah. But the new one has at least three races a winter,
yeah,
specifically for him.
Yeah, yeah, so, of course, yeah.
I don't think there's any pressing need for it, personally. But it wouldn't surprise me if they'd introduced it. It wouldn't surprise me if there was a race for every shape and size of a horse. It wouldn't surprise me if Cheltenham went on from Monday to Sunday.
Every horse got his conditions.
Yeah. Because, you know, that's the world we live in now, apparently, where we have to keep introducing... We have to keep making a good thing better, or trying to, and it doesn't necessarily work.
Because more is always better.
Yes, more is more. That's the saying,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the old saying. Less is less and more is more.
Okay. Should we take a look ahead to trials day then, shall we?
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
On Saturday. It's a really good day of racing, and we're going to take a look at two races in detail, the 150 and the 150 of the two we've got picked out to give the full preview treatment to. I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. Was there anything else later on in the card, the Cleve Hurdle on the feature race of the day, anything else that caught your eye? Presumably you've got a stronger fancy in these two. But
yeah, well, I mean, it's just a fascinating day all round, isn't it? Bristol Demise, obviously... probably the most interesting horse of the day, yep. I think, in terms of how highly regarded he was based on that Haydock run and how much of a different horse turned up at Kempton. But he will get soft ground to slog through here. So I'd really quite like to see Bristol Demise win by half of the track, because...
Even as a backer of Might Bite.
Yes, because it might make Might Bite a better price again.
And then you can go in again, yeah.
Go in again.
Yeah.
But also, I really like Bristol Demise. I just think these are his conditions. But it'd be nice for him to back up that Haydock win. Because I don't like... It's just mainly because you don't like seeing anomalies in the form book like that, where you're like, how good was... Like, nobody can agree on how good this performance was.
Yes.
I think there's a couple of nice... interesting horses in the 3 o'clock. Mulcahy's Hill in particular, I thought for Warren Greychecks was an interesting runner. Based on that good second last time out to Poetic Rhythm at Newbury, I think that's good solid form. Obviously, given the tragic circumstances around Richard Woollacott this week, everyone will be on and hoping that Beer Goggles can back up that form. But again, that's a fascinating race, isn't it, against Finian's Oscar, changing tack, and I think Holstone in particular has got his ideal condition, so I think he'll be quite hard to beat. And I thought Clondor Castle in the 410 as well was quite interesting for Tom George making his handicap debut. So there's a horse in every race I've got my eye on.
Okay, let's take a look at those two then that we mentioned a little bit earlier on in a bit more detail. Start with the 115. This is a novice's handicap chase over 2.5 miles. No betting through for this race at the time of recording, but 7 go to post. And the market will almost certainly shape around those horses rated 145 plus, sizing Tennessee and Ballyandy at the top.
Yes, both very well-regarded horses. Sizing Tennessee has had his jumping problems. Even when he won on his penultimate start, he was far from fluent. And it's certainly no disgrace on getting beaten by Yanwith last time out. On the back of that, he's been lumped up another £4. He's 10 years old, so he's no spring chicken. But he's clearly got form in the book. And Ballyandy as well. I think the world and his wife backed Ballyandy in the Supreme last season.
Yes.
Only to see him finish fourth behind LeBake. And so far, 2 runs over fences. And it's been a mixed bag for him. But his run behind Yanwith last time out was his first run for the best part of 2.5 months. And obviously he should come on for that. The top two have very similar form claims. But away from that, I thought Mr. Whittaker was the most interesting horse in the race. And he very much caught the eye last time out. Unexposed handicap chaser from the Mick Shannon yard, won really well at Carlisle on his penultimate start, and then had, I think, in hindsight, absolutely no chance against Hell's Kitchen, who was given a beautiful ride by Barry Geraghty, made all the running, a horse who had been heavily backed at Newbury before that, and really franked that impression of him. Mr. Whittaker had no chance. He was held up at the back. He crept into the race, but he just found a well-ridden front runner in his way, and I think both of those last two runs are rock solid. So I think he's a little less sexy than the others. And I think because of that, he's probably worth chancing for Mick Shannon.
Okay. Mr. Whittaker then, the choice in that 115 race for Mick Shannon and Adrian Heskin. Let's go on to the 150, which is a grade 3 handicap chase. 2.5 miles once again. The trip, a bigger pool to go at here at the time recording. 14 of them down to go to post. And Kustar Sivila likely to be the market leader here off the back of a string of good runs for Nick Williams.
Yeah, he's a very simple horse in the sense that he just jumps and runs from the front. He was a good hurdler last year. He finished a good fourth behind Champagne Classic in the Martin Pipe. And he couldn't quite shake off Finian's Oscar or Calandra on his last couple of starts at this track. But yeah, goes into handicaps now. He's £5 below his hurdles mark, so he's an obvious angle in on that respect. But I still think he's been found in the market enough. I thought Frodon had a class edge over this lot.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to believe he's only six. He's had plenty of racing and plenty of good, solid performances as well. 2.5 miles seems his optimum, which is a bit of a surprise that he's been pressed over further on his last couple of starts. But he's run very, very well. Finished third behind Top Notch at Ascot and then ran a blinder back at that track behind Gold Present last time out. He won the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup here over course and distance. He's only £5 higher than that. Bryony Frost is back in the saddle. She gave him a beautiful ride last time in defeat at Ascot. And yeah, this is just a significantly easier race than what he usually contests. He's gone up another £3 for that run last time out, but he seems in fantastic form. And it's really hard to see a negative for Frodon. Be disappointed if he's definitely got the class to get involved here. So yeah, Frodon looked an obvious each-way play for me.
Frodon could be the class act in the field then in that 150 for Paul Nicholls. And girl of the moment, Bryony Frost. Just remind us then one more time, please, Ross, your fancies on trials day.
Mr. Whittaker in the 115 against slightly classier horses. And Frodon, quite the opposite, is the classiest horse in that 150.
Good stuff. You can tune into Racing Radio then and hear Dave Kellner, Alistair Jones and James Millman guiding you through trials day at Cheltenham. There's also a fabulous card over at Doncaster as well, plus Utoxeter and Lingfield in the afternoon, then the evening card at Kempton Park, as well as the Irish racing from Fairy House as well. That's all live on Racing Radio on Saturday. Thank you very much for that, Ross. Was this brief section of your life as enjoyable as you hoped?
It was very, very memorable, Sam, and I'm sure it will take pride of place in my memoirs.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.